If you have your Bibles, or if you have a phone or a tablet or anything that you have, if you would turn to Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24. Luke is the third book of the New Testament. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, you can find it there. If you didn't bring your Bible today, we will have all the scriptures on the screen so you can follow along with every scripture that I'll be reading today. And so today we celebrate the resurrected Jesus Christ. He is risen. Amen. He's risen. That's it. And not just that he rose from the grave, but the transformative power that we have as believers in Jesus Christ because he rose from the grave. That's what we celebrate. And see, whether you recognize it or not, the resurrection of Jesus Christ affects everything. It affects everything because the power of Christ is transformational. It affects everything because it's transformational. Aside from churches, we probably don't think much about how Jesus has made an impact on our world. Do you realize that governments and much of Western culture has the resurrected Christ as a cornerstone and major influence in its formation? Even our own nation, if you've ever been to the Capitol, Washington, D.C., if you've ever been and walked around to the different monuments, you'll notice that there's scripture inscribed on nearly every monument in our nation's capital. Have you ever noticed that? Yes. Of the 56 who signed the Declaration of Independence, 29 of them held a seminary degree. Over half of them held just a slightly lower Bible school degree. See, the life of Jesus has influenced women and human rights causes. Jesus's teachings were the basis of the idea to end slavery in this nation. Influenced of some of the world's most impactful humanitarian aid efforts, such as the Red Cross and the Salvation Army. It's the life of Christ and the teachings of Christianity that counteract and stand in the face of tyrannical and communistic governments. The life of a resurrected Christ informs the principles of a free society. Did you know our Gregorian calendar system, the calendar January through December, and our major cultural holidays, namely Easter, the one we're celebrating today, and Christmas, are influenced by the life of Christ? Did you know that? Most people get Saturday off from work every week because of the influences of the teaching of Jesus about the Sabbath. Did you know that? Our healthcare and educational systems and their philosophies and many institutions are influenced by the life of Christ. Harvard, Princeton, and Yale, the Ivy League schools of this nation, did you know that they all started as seminaries? Did you know that? Here's the point. The resurrected Christ impacts your life every day in multiple ways, whether you realize it or not. We live in a culture that's shaped by the values and the teachings of Jesus. If Jesus would have not risen from the grave, his death really would have been null and void. It would have had no significant meaning. And Jesus' impact on the world would have been, at best, underwhelming. Instead, because of the resurrection of Jesus, there's not a day that goes by, not one day that goes by, that you're not affected and impacted in practical ways by Jesus Christ and his resurrection. See, what looked like defeat on Friday when he died on the cross turned into victory and triumph on Sunday when he rose from the grave, and it transformed life forever. Everybody loves a good triumph story, don't you? We all like to watch those TV shows where someone overcomes the odds and challenges and rise above the rest. Since it's basketball season, I thought about a comeback story. Now, when I start to tell this story, if you're a basketball fan at all, you're gonna know exactly what I'm talking about. The year was 1989. Picture it, 1989. It was the NBA playoff games between the Chicago Bulls and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. Chicago had won two games. The Cavaliers had won two games. It was the fifth and final decisive game of the playoffs. The Bulls were trailing the Cavaliers 99-100. It was an incredible game. They were trailing. There were 3 seconds left on the clock. 3 seconds. Everybody thought this game's over. The Cavaliers had won. And so Chicago goes to throw the ball in. The clock starts. Everybody's on their feet. And just as the clock hit zero, Michael Jordan, right in front of the basket, shoots the ball just as the buzzer is sounding and unexpectedly sinks the shot to win the game 101-100. Now, that shot became part of NBA basketball history as one of sports' most memorable moments. No one expected it. It was a good game. The Cavaliers would have deserved to win. Everybody thought they would. But out of nowhere, the shot that changed the game. I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have seen it. And if you go on YouTube and you type in the shot, then that video is going to come up. You'll see it. That's all you have to do. Now I want you to follow me for just a second. When Jesus rose from the grave, it was the shot that seemingly came out of nowhere. See, Jesus's ministry, it was commendable all on its own. It was. He played what we'd call a good game. The other team, Satan and his forces, had scored. Jesus had been crucified. He died, and they put him in a grave. Everybody thought that the game was done. But the game wasn't over. But instead of 3 seconds, it was 3 days. And on the third day, Jesus took the shot that changed the game and made history forever. See, you and I wouldn't be sitting here today otherwise. We wouldn't be sitting here. There'd be nothing to celebrate. Now, it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to experience a moment like that, isn't it? Have you ever been a part of a very powerful moment? A historic event, maybe, an awe-inspiring display of something, and you try to explain it, and you're telling your friends, you're telling your family, and the words just fall short, and you just say, I wish you could have been there. I wish you could have experienced what I experienced. I wish you could have seen what I saw. See, when we experience powerful moments, we never forget them. We never forget them. See, they're etched into our brain. They impact us, and some would even say, they transform us, depending on what it is. Easter is the time of year when we remember the biggest, most pivotal moment that changed the world forever. And it's hard for us to wrap our mind around the resurrection of Jesus and its impact just by hearing about it. It's hard to do that. See, historically, the teachings of Christ and the facts of the resurrection have already been proven. Powerful, life-changing moment in time by its lasting effect on our culture. I've already told you about that. That's indisputable. But the truth remains that the power of the impact of Christ and the resurrection, see, we're exposed to it. We're exposed to it here in America. We recognize it. But for some of us, we've never experienced it. So it's never been transformational to us. See, our culture can celebrate Easter all we want. We can talk about Jesus being resurrected from the grave all we want, but it'll leave no lasting mark on anyone until we experience it for ourselves. See, Easter will change nothing in your life until it moves from exposure to experience. So what if I told you that you can experience the power of the resurrection in your life today? What if I told you that? Somebody asked me how. Oh, good. I'm glad you asked. If you want Easter to change everything for you and you move from exposure to the story of the resurrection to experiencing the power of the resurrection, I've got 3 points on how you do that. I've got 3 points. I'm going to ask if you would stand in the honor of reading God's word. We're going to be in Luke chapter 24. Before we do, here's what we do at Cultivate Church. We pray. The Lord has us kind of in this pattern. I don't know if we'll be in it forever, but he has us where we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of his word to us. Because we know that when the truth of God's word is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit begins to work and speak. We know that. And so would you join me in asking the Holy Spirit to work and move in this room today and reveal truth to us as we read? Would you do that? Would you do that? So, Lord, we come to you now. Holy Spirit, we say you have free reign in this room. We've lifted high the name of Jesus. We've magnified you. We've worshiped you. We've entered into the throne room today. And now we need a word from you. We're needy people. And so, Lord, would you speak to us? Would you draw us in? Would you warm this room up with your presence, God? Bring us from the outside in. And Holy Spirit, would you speak to every single person in this room? You have permission to move how you want to. We yield ourselves to you, God. Speak to us now as we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Remain standing, please. Remain standing. We're going to start chapter 24. Luke, also be on the screen. You can follow along, starting in verse 1. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. Some women went there, taking the spices that they had prepared. And that's important. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them. Those are angels, by the way. Suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. I want a dazzling robe one day. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who was alive?" I love that question. And then they say, "He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered, that they had said this. So they rushed back to the tomb to tell the 11 disciples and everyone else. So there were other people besides the others there. What had happened? It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, typical, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw an empty linen wrappings, and then he went home again, wondering what had happened. God bless the reading of his word. You can be seated. If you're taking notes today in your worship guide, if you're taking notes today, and here's point number one. Here's the first step from moving to exposure to experiencing the resurrection, and that is come looking. Come looking. Come looking. Looking. Go back to verse 1 through 3. It'll be on the screen. But go to Luke 24, 1 through 3. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking spices that they had prepared. Now, that tells us something right there. They were bringing spices. They found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And then I like the first part of this verse, as they stood there puzzled. Now, in Mark 9 and in Matthew, I believe it's 17, Jesus told the disciples. Now, the disciples, remember, is more than the 12 at this point. It was original 12, and then many were added to as he was teaching along. So there was a large group of disciples. He had told the disciples, which would have included these women who went to the tomb that morning. He had told them, "Listen, I'm going to die, but 3 days later, I'm going to rise again." He had told them that with his own mouth. He had told them multiple times that this was going to happen. "Easter's coming, but it's going to be great. You guys, just wait, just wait." But his closest followers, I want you to think about this, his closest followers didn't understand. They didn't understand. His closest followers. They couldn't take in what he was saying. They heard him, but they didn't hear him. You know what I mean? Ladies, have you ever said something to your husbands and you know he heard you, but he did not hear you? See, these women, they were devout followers of Jesus. They went to the tomb not expecting to find an empty tomb. They thought his body would be there. They were coming to spice it up. That's what I call it. They were coming to spice it up. There's even one account where the women, another account I believe is in the book of John, where the women, when they were going to the tomb, when they said, "Well, we wonder who's going to roll the stone away for us when we get there," they were just kind of busybodying among themselves on their way. I could just imagine them skipping down to the tomb, I don't know, with their baskets. Who knows? You You'll get that on your way home. The point, they didn't come looking for the resurrection. The other disciples didn't expect it either because they didn't even go. They stayed home. I think, see, that if Jesus would have told me, spoiler alert, Daniel, spoiler alert, boy, they're going to take me down on Friday, but on Sunday, I'm going to be up. I'd think I would camp out somewhere close to the cemetery, not in the cemetery. This boy won't camp out in a cemetery, but I would be close somewhere where I could hear or see something. Even those, listen, closest to him, the words, the explanation of such a life-changing event that didn't even register with them, didn't even register. According to the custom, though, anointing Jesus's body was the proper thing to do. It was the proper thing to do because of the Sabbath, by the way. See, Jesus died on a Friday. The Sabbath began what day? They didn't have a lot of time to get him down and get him in the tomb, okay? So because of the Sabbath, there was a rush job done on his burial. Joseph of Arimathea, which is the tomb where they placed Jesus in, and our good old friend Nicodemus. The two of them, I call them Joe and Nick. Joe and Nick, they had to take the body of Jesus. They didn't have a lot of time to prepare their body. Now, I don't know what they did to prepare the body, but leave it up to two men to do what two men would do, to spray a little Axe body spray on the body of Jesus and just shove him in the tomb. He's in there. So the women then were like, we got to go do this right. Can I hear an amen? We got to do it. If it's going to be done, we got to do it right. So they were properly prepared his dead body to lay in the grave appropriately. These women believed that Jesus was the Son of God, mind you. They watched him perform miracles. They watched him die on the cross. They had been exposed to good teaching about the resurrection from Jesus himself. And they came to honor their dear Savior by giving him a proper burial so he doesn't start to stink. Now I want you to follow me here. There may be some of us here today that this today is just a spice him up kind of sermon for us. In other words, see, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We come to celebrate and honor Jesus because it's the proper thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. We're going to give Jesus just a little bit of attention today on Easter Sunday so he doesn't start to stink and start to embarrass us. See, we won't say this with our mouths, but many of us have come expecting him to still be laying in the tomb, spiritually speaking. See, we're not expecting to find any life. We don't expect to find any healing. We don't expect to find any freedom. We don't expect for him to meet us here. We don't expect there to be any transformation in our lives today. We've just come to spice him up, but we're not looking to experience the resurrected Jesus. It's not on our purview. It's not on the docket today. I'm sorry. But there's something really important and significant about the idea of coming and looking. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7:7, he said this, you're going to recognize this. It says, ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you're going to find it. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be open to you, for everyone who keeps on asking receives. He who keeps on seeking finds, and him who keeps on knocking, it will be open. In other words, if you want me to make that plain for you, if you come looking for me, you're going to find me. And when you find me, you're going to experience my answers to your questions. You're going to experience my presence with you. You're going to experience the opportunities that I'm going to open up for you in your life. If you come looking for me, Jesus says, I will change your life. Now, if we never come asking, if we never come knocking, if we never come looking, if we never come, we'll never experience the power of the resurrection in our lives. I'm telling you, not just today, but every day when you get up, every Sunday when you come, would you just come looking for God to transform you? Here's the next step for moving from exposure to experience. Number two, if you're taking notes, here it is. Believe. Believe. Luke 24:5-9. Are y'all with me? Okay, good. Praise God. But 5-9, this is a good message. Then the angels asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? And then I underlined this in my Bible. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. And then he said, remember what he is who? Jesus told you back in Galilee that the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man, that's the name that Jesus gave for himself. Okay, he would just call himself the Son of Man. He said, I must be betrayed into the hands of sinful man and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Okay, the angels were telling these women this. Then, verse 8, they remembered that Jesus had said that. Oh, he did say that, and he's not here. He's not here. So then what happened? So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. Now, these women had come to the tomb in unbelief that he had risen. They didn't know that. They didn't expect it. They were expecting to find Jesus laying there. They were perplexed at why he wasn't. Now, let me ask you a question. All right, think for me. What had to happen to trigger their belief? What had to happen to trigger their belief? I'm going to give you a hint. It was something supernatural that proclaimed the words of Jesus. Something supernatural that proclaimed the words of Jesus. Now, in this case, it was the angel. The angel was the supernatural force here. And they asked the question, why are you seeking the living among the dead? That's a great question. That's a very telling question. Then they made this proclamation. He's here. He's not here. He's risen. He ain't here. He's gone. And then they spoke the words of Jesus. Remember, he told you that this would happen. Remember, he told you that this would happen. And then, scripture says, and then they believed and they ran to tell the others. But what does it say? Look at verse 11. It says, but the story sounded like nonsense to the men. So they didn't believe it. However, Peter, now these are his disciples now. They heard it. They didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb, stooping, he peered in, saw the empty linens wrapping there. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. They heard the story from these women, thought it was nonsense. So went to go see for themselves, and they saw, and they still wondered. They didn't believe. They didn't believe. Here's the truth. You can celebrate Easter every year. Every year. You can hear about how important Easter is every year. And what Jesus did on the cross for you, you can hear about all of those things. You can hear all about it and still be unable to comprehend it. And you'll walk away and it won't do much for you today. You'll think, well, Cultivate Church, man, they had it really. That was a very sweet service. Praise God, that was a sweet, that was so nice. It was so well done. Very quality. Yes, very quality. Choir, they sounded awesome. The pastor was so handsome. Oh, we just loved it. We loved every part of it. It was very pleasant. Thousands of people will attend Easter services this year, and they'll walk out of the services and allow the power of the resurrection pass them by because of unbelief. And we think, well, I wish I would have had an angel supernaturally appear to me. I wish something supernatural would happen to me. All right, now that's not a bad idea. I think you're onto something. Jesus thought that that was a good idea too. See, just like the angel appeared supernaturally there to them to remind those women what Jesus had said, just like he did, guess who's here supernaturally today to remind us what Jesus is saying? Guess who? The Holy Spirit is here today supernaturally to tell you what Jesus is saying. In John 15, Jesus said this, I'm going away, but I'm going to send an advocate. The Holy Spirit of truth is going to supernaturally come. He will come to you from the Father, and he will testify about who? Jesus. He said, he will testify about me. He's going to tell you my words. Then John 16, 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he's heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. I want you to listen to me, church. Listen to me. If you've never experienced the power of the resurrection, you've heard about it, you've shown up to church to remember it, you recognize that it has happened. It's happened. He rose from the grave. But if you've never experienced the life-transforming way, if you've never experienced it, if you come looking, the Holy Spirit is going to start speaking to you if he hasn't already. I would even guess that the Holy Spirit has been ringing some of your bells already today. Someone here may have prayed this morning, God, if you're real, if this is real, if this Jesus thing is the real deal, show me somehow today. Listen, Jesus is in the salvation experience business. He wants you to experience the resurrected life. He wants you. If you come looking for him and you mean it, get ready because you're going to find him. He will make himself real to you. The Holy Spirit will start to speak. Yes, he will. And you'll know when you're knower. You know what I mean by that? You'll know when you're knower. That this Easter story is beyond just a story. It's going a little further than I've ever recognized it before. It's coming alive for me in some way it's never come alive for me before. You'll know in your knower. It'll start to affect you. Because that's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. Do you know what the Holy Spirit's going to start to tell you? You want to know? He's going to start to tell you, hey, you've been unassuming about this Jesus thing, but he's real. And he loves you. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to start to say. He loves you and you need him in your life. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to start to say to you. The enemy will never tell you that, by the way. Did you know that? Nor your flesh nature, your sin flesh nature will never come to that conclusion on its own. If you've been thinking, I've got something missing in my life. If you've started to think that, see, the enemy don't want you to know that. He don't want you to come to that conclusion. But if you've come to the conclusion somehow, if you thought I've got something missing in my life, I need to get serious about my faith. There's something I need to start doing. We need to start doing something with my family. If you've been thinking about that recently, here's some good news for you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Don't take my word for it. John 16:8 says this, and when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, guess what he'll do? He'll convict the world, that's us, of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. And that's what the Holy Spirit, that's part of his job, to convince you you're a sinner. You need a savior. Jesus is the savior. And judgment is coming. See, that quickens the heart that there's an urgency that I need to do something with Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit will start telling you. And I'm telling you, he's already started telling some of you here today. You're one of those who need proof, aren't we all? And if you come looking, he's going to reveal himself to you. And you'll be immediately put in a crisis of belief. What are you going to do with that? What will you do with that? Here's number three. If you want the final step moving from exposure to experience and the resurrection, number three, respond. 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 I want you to look further down in this passage. We didn't read it earlier, but I want to read a big chunk of passage to you. I want you to start in verse 13. That same day, the same day as the resurrection, okay? So all this has happened with the women, the tomb, everything. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were on a 7-mile journey. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began to walk with them. That's cool. That's supernatural. Notice the pattern here, by the way. There's a pattern in scripture. Supernaturally, Jesus appeared to them. But look at this verse 16. I like this. But God kept them from recognizing him. Isn't that interesting? Did you know, for some of us today, for some reason, the Holy Spirit up until this point has kept things spiritually from you seeing something spiritually, perhaps? That's his business. I can't pretend to know the mind of God. Can't pretend to know. But he's kept something hidden. But if not today, at some point, if not today, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal himself in a way that you're going to know it. Then what are you going to do? See, that's the question. But look at what Jesus said. He asked them, so what are y'all discussing so intently around the walk? I love Jesus. Jesus asks questions. Jesus is a question asker. And he was like, so what y'all talking about? Now, don't you think Jesus knew what they were talking about? Jesus knew. Here he was. Somebody's like, he knew, but he's like, well, hey, what y'all talking about, boys? Look at what they said. They stopped short. The sadness across their faces were like, what? Then one of them replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about these things that's happened in the last few days. Do you live under a rock? Jesus played dumb. I love this. He's like, well, what things? What things? He's so funny. And then they said, the things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said, he was the prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. And we hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. He hoped this. This all happened 3 days ago. Where have you been? Where have you been? Then some women from our group, they said, the followers were at his tomb early this morning. They came back with this amazing report. They said that his body was missing. They had seen with the angels and told him that he was alive. It was amazing. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. And then Jesus said to them, oh, guys, you find it so hard to believe that the prophets, what they wrote in scripture, wasn't it clearly predicted that Jesus, the Messiah, would have to suffer all these things before entering into glory? It was written, you've known this. This should be no surprise to you, Jesus says. But then look what he did. Jesus took them through the writings of Moses. He pulled out his scripture and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning who? Himself. See, Jesus started to proclaim the truth to them about himself. Isn't that brilliant? That's brilliant. It'll catch on in a minute. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he is going on. See you, boys. Hope y'all have a good day. He was acting as if he's going on. They said, no, wait. They begged him, stay with us the night here since it's getting late. So what did he do? He went home with them. Now, I want you to notice something here. The reaction with Jesus went from acquaintance on the road to Bible study. From Bible study to personal fellowship. So that what started as an acquaintance on the road, then they invited him, won't you stay the night with us? It went from informational to relational real quick, didn't it? As they sat down to eat, now look at this. As they sat down to eat, he took bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Why? Why in that moment? I'm gonna tell you, because at that moment, the guest became the host. They invited him in and he fed them. And at that moment, he disappeared. Now look what they said. Look what they said. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't we know in our knower that something was up about this Jesus as he talked with us on the road and explained scripture about himself to us? Didn't we know something? Didn't it burn in our hearts? And within the hour, look at this, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. Now, remember, they went 7 miles then in the opposite direction. They were at the end of their journey in Jerusalem. That was the end of their day. But within the hour, after they met with Jesus and revealed to him, after they saw the scales fell from their eyes, within the hour, they were headed back to Jerusalem in the opposite direction because of the response of an encounter with a supernatural Jesus. Here's what I want us to know. When the Holy Spirit of God starts to speak to us, he's going to reveal truths to us that have previously been hidden from our eyes. Things that we never thought about before, things that you've never considered before. You're going to start thinking those because he's going to start speaking to you about them. And just like Jesus started telling them the truth of scripture on the road that day, the Spirit of God might be speaking to you in regard to truth of the scripture that I'm telling you today. And what's going to happen is that strange person, Jesus, is going to invite you in deeper. That's what's going to happen. Something about Jesus is going to turn from informational to you to relational for you really quick. And if he's just a guest in your life that you're just treating properly today, something is going to shift supernaturally, and he will shift in from into the host that's offering you something. And you're going to have to respond to that. Everybody in this room is going to have to respond to that. If you're not a Christian today, meaning that you've never prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, Jesus may be offering you the gift of salvation today, and you know that in your knower, your heart burns with that. You know that you've got to do something. There's a decision that you've got to make for the person of Jesus. You've been exposed to him. You've heard about him. You've been exposed to him, but you've never experienced him in a real way. You've never experienced this, never gone from informational to relational. Never gone that far. Never gone that far. And all of a sudden, in a unique and supernatural way, the Holy Spirit has gotten in your face as I've been preaching, and you felt that burning in your heart. You need to respond to that. For those of you here that are believers, listen. You're followers of Jesus, but you're like these women and men that followed the Lord. They knew the Lord. But for you today, he's ready to take deeper. He's ready to take you deeper. He's ready to pull you in. You come week after week, month after month, year after year with your spice jar. You're coming with your spices to spice up Jesus, who for you might as well be dead in the tomb. You believe you died. He died for you, but you treat him as if he's still dead. And you live as if he's still dead. You're a believer, but you live like he's dead. The Holy Spirit wants to release the power of the resurrection in your life today, if you'll let him. You need to respond to that. You need to respond to that. That's the pattern of experiencing the transformational resurrection power of Christ in your life today. Listen, here's the deal. The Word of God has the power to save. The Word of God has the power to save, heal, set free, deliver. It's a supernatural book. This is not a book with just words in it. It's a supernatural book. And when the Holy Spirit enters the room and he starts revealing the supernaturally revealing the truth of this supernatural book, things happen in the spirit and in the natural. And you've got to respond to that. That's what the resurrected Christ begs of all of us. That's what he begs of all of us. Come looking, expecting. If you come expecting earnestly, you will find him. Believe what he says. Believe what he says and respond.